Spectis Radio, FM 104.6.
23 minutes after 12, and I've got one of my favourite, if not favourite, special guests in. I love it when Lisa Beeney comes in, because one, it puts a spring in my step, and a whole load of positivity, plus I learn something. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, what am I going to learn today?
Oh, I don't know, but every day's a school day.
Well, I've already been taught a load of stuff from you very recently because you visited Mac Towers.
Yes.
And our situation is probably not too dissimilar to other places. Mm-hmm. There are probably other places that have got completely different issues and problems. So when you go out and about, and I know you've got to be careful what you say, you can't mention people, but what do you see on a regular basis that you think straight away, you think, oh, come on, you've got to do something with that?
It's when we go to homes where people might be struggling with their energy bills, especially people that only have either a single income or a pension, and I know they'll be eligible for a grant because you look at the property and its existing energy performance, you can get a fair idea of somebody's income from what they tell you, and you just know there are things that you can do that can help them and make it better. We've spent some time over the last month or so going back and visiting people that we've helped over the last few months, and it's been brilliant, and I really love that part of what I do because you get to see the difference that you've made. One chap that we went to see has a 1960s bungalow, and it was
that's not me, is it?
No, it's not you. Another one. It was costing him about £14-15 a day to heat it with night storage heaters. So we helped him with his grant application. We did the whole retrofit assessment of the property, and then I went back afterwards and did the new energy performance certificate to measure how much it had improved. And it had gone from an E rating to an A rating. And that was by having an air source heat pump installed. They'd put better loft insulation in his loft and solar panels on the roof. And I think also fitted extra extractor fans in the bathroom and kitchen for him. So all of that work was done and he didn't have to pay a penny towards it. And sitting there with him, and he was telling me about his energy costs and that, yes, it used to be £14-15 a day. And he was saying to me, the best bit, it's December, but some days we don't have to pay anything because the amount of electricity they're generating from the solar panels is running all their heating. So his bills some days were actually zero. I mean, that is a good day. But typically, since he's had it installed, he's halved his energy bills. And if you can halve your energy bills over the winter, that has to be a really good thing because that's the highest proportion of energy you use in the winter. And that was by applying for the government grants that are available and actually being prepared to put up with some disruption. And you can't get around the fact that having new heating installed is disruptive, especially if you don't have any existing pipework or radiators, because all of that pipework has to be laid throughout your entire house. The radiators all have to be fitted, so you will have a week's worth of disruption in your home. But at the end of it, you have a heating system that you've not had to pay for that can halve your energy bills. So I just think, why not? Why don't people apply for
it's
this?
It's worth it.
It
worth
is.
That 1 week of pain, if you like.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you know what is lovely? Is that you obviously get a real buzz from that, because when you were telling us about that particular gentleman, he had such a huge smile. So it was lovely to be able to hear that and see that as well, that you were actually doing this for this person. And you just picture the scene. He's probably going to be cold. It's costing him a lot of money, uncomfortable at times because of, and now life transformed, isn't it?
Yeah, really is. And one comment he made to me was, it's lovely to have a warm home.
Oh, wow. That is nice.
And if we can make people's homes warmer and cheaper to heat, then we've done our job right.
Let's be honest, those kind of days that you have where, you know, it's a cold day, it's winter, and it's not costing you anything, like I would imagine days like today, beautiful sunshine, wall-to-wall sunshine, there could be many days like that where you're not actually, you know, drawing anything financially. You're actually making money in some cases, but definitely not losing it in January or February. That is brilliant, isn't it? That
it
really
is. From March through to September, I would expect with the amount of solar he's got on the roof now that he won't be paying very little, if anything, for his energy.
Look, we got to hear from another one in a mo, but obviously the details are, if you want to know more about that, then you've got to make a phone call or you've got to send an email.
Yes, you can email us at info@greeniow.org.uk or phone us on 01983 668 900 and we can arrange to pop round, have a chat with you. As I always say, there are things that we can all do today that will start to save us money. And then there's the longer term things. So if we can help people immediately, that's brilliant. And if we can help people through the journey of having the work done, and we're there to answer questions, and we're there to pop back a week later, a month later, whenever you need us, to help you get your new heating system set up properly so you understand how it works.
Okay.
We're not just there for a one visit or a one phone call.
No, that's what I like. I mean, you said you revisited and went back and so on. And I say it's really, really good to hear. So telephone number again is?
01983 668 900.
And make that call and find out some details. I've just got, you know, just make a point here of saying that there are people that have got their own roofs and that they are pointing in the right direction. There might be people that haven't. They live in a flat, but you can still help out.
Yes, I mean, even people that live in flats, if you've got the old-fashioned night storage heaters, then the grant funding will pay for those to be replaced with the more modern version. And again, because they're far better insulated and they've got far better controls, that will still save you money. So there's still plenty that can be done, even if you don't have a roof. Lots of people say, oh, I don't have a roof that faces south. That doesn't necessarily matter. And it is possible to put solar panels even on north-facing roofs. It's not ideal, but it's possible. That will still create enough electricity for it to make a difference to your bills. If you've got east and west-facing roofs, again, they're quite good because you can split the panels up between each side. And if anything, they're as good as a single south-facing roof because you get the sun earlier in the day as it comes up and you keep the sun later in the afternoon as it goes down.
Oh, right. So it's a bit of a myth then. It has to be south-southwest in direction, isn't it?
Yep, it's a real myth.
Yeah,
it really doesn't have to be.
Do you know what we've got in our garden? And obviously we've got the solar panels on the roof, which I don't know a massive amount about because my wife actually keeps tabs on, you know, what it's doing, how well it's doing and so on. But we've got a load of those lights that you put in the garden that are solar panelled, solar run. And I remember, since Christmas and now, we've had quite a few days where it's been dark and dingy and horrible. But those lights still get enough charge in them to be shining and flashing come 8 o'clock at night. And I've never understood that. But it just that small little thing tells me that if you've got a little thing there that's getting some kind of power from the light, just imagine what it's doing to your solar panels.
Yeah.
Because even on a cloudy day, you're still getting something.
You will still get something. Obviously not as much, but you will still get something. And the days that work best are the days that would be lovely wall-to-wall sunshine, apart from that slight haze that you get over the sun. Now, those days, you actually get more electricity generated from your solar panels than you would on a clear sunny day.
Oh, how's that then?
Because it's a diffused light. So it's all to do with the angle the light hits the solar panels and things. But it actually works better on those days.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
I noticed it on ours at home, so I started doing a bit of research on it. And yes, it's it's a known fact that a slightly hazy day can produce more electricity than wall-to-wall blue skies.
Well, I'm one of those people that will sit in the garden, and I think if it's hazy and it's cloudy, I won't sit. I'll probably go. I'll give that a miss. I'll go for a walk instead. Mm. But now I might not. I might try that because it's still getting through to me.
It's just that slight haze.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it will cut out the rays that make you go brown.
Right.
But it certainly helps with the bits that generate the electricity.
Okay. So what other things do you see on your travels? Because everyone's different, but they're all trying to do exactly the same thing. They're trying to stay warm.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the most common things we see are drafty windows. And that can easily be fixed by those little foam strips that you can put round. You peel off the sticky on one side, stick them to the window frame, and it seals up the gap.
Was it you that told me about bubble wrap?
That you can put that over the windows, yes.
Yeah. Was it you?
I don't know if it was me or not, but yes, you can. But then you can't see out your window.
No, exactly. I think it was a YouTube.
Yes.
Something I saw on YouTube.
It works really well in greenhouses for insulation.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But I think most people would like to have windows they can look out of.
Yeah, I did. That was the only thing. Because you didn't have to. All you had to do was cut the bubble wrap to size, dampen it, and then it would stick to your window.
Mm. Or stick it up with sticky tape.
And it's very easy to remove at the right time and so on.
Would say rather than that, you can get the window film that you put over your windows, you heat with a hairdryer, and that then goes taut and acts like temporary secondary glazing.
And
that's relatively cheap as well. That can be done for a couple of pounds per window.
And that stays on all year round?
Well, you can take it off in the summer and then put a new lot back up in the winter. It's not reusable, but it does get rid of all of the drafts in the winter.
Okay. Anything else that you see that stands out?
Drafty back doors. And it seems to be back doors more than front doors. I don't know why. But just one of those sausage dog draft excluders.
Yeah.
That will sort that.
That makes sense. But yeah, I would say check your doors.
Yeah, check your windows. Check your windows and your light bulbs. We're still meeting an awful lot of people that the light bulbs have never blown, so they've still got the high energy version of the light bulbs in the light fittings. And the new LED version only uses 10% of the energy. So if you want an immediate quick fix, light bulbs are one. I mean, to the point, I now carry light bulbs of all different sizes and shapes in my car. And when we visit somebody, if they need them, we can leave them with light bulbs.
Oh, right, OK. We've changed all our light bulbs very recently, strangely enough, but they are all, I'm pretty sure they're all energy efficient, but they're all like Wi-Fi or Bluetooth bulbs, so we can say on and off and so on that way. I mean, I don't think, I mean, we had some before and one blew for the first time. It lasted about 10 years, this bulb. So we've made a saving, but are you making a saving overall? I don't know. I'm pretty sure we read the, you know, and they are like, you know, they don't take up too much power.
No, the smart light bulbs still don't use much power. And I've been round at home fitting lots of little smart plugs to things so I can see what uses energy and what doesn't. Because we all hear about the, you should turn your TV off, you should turn this off, you should turn that off. Don't leave it on standby, turn it off at the mains. And you think, well, how true is that and what does it actually use? And it's been quite interesting. Little things that I never thought would use electricity when they're plugged in but not switched on do. And one of the strangest ones is the air fryer.
Oh, right.
If it's plugged in and switched on at the mains but the actual air fryer is switched off, it's still uses electricity.
Oh, right. Okay. That's interesting.
And that really threw me. I wasn't expecting that because there's no lights on it, no panel lit up or anything, but... Yeah.
Because we have a couple of air fryers, and they've both got, what do they call them? That we say, hey, what's it? Turn off the air fryer.
Yeah.
And it switches it off.
Yeah. So, and if you don't do that, it will still be using a tiny bit of electricity.
Right, okay. That is an interesting thing. We're learning stuff all the time, aren't we?
Mm.
I mean, I think I've said this before many times. You go back 30-odd years, 40 years, and you walk around your house, and the only thing that was left on was the fridge. Mm. Nothing else. Everything else was switched off. But we're using so much power these days, so it makes perfect sense to, you know, have a little look at what you do.
And we're using so much power because we went through a phase where power was really cheap, and we were all encouraged to use it. And encouraged to leave things on standby.
It makes sense, doesn't it? All you've got to do is just apply some common sense and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So look, just remind us again, if people are listening to this, look, you know, the thing that you've got to do is take that first step. Have a little look at your bill first. If you need any a nudge or anything like that, just have a little look at your bill. If your bill is expensive and you're struggling, then you've got to make the call. Get some advice. It's simple.
But even if your bill isn't, or if you don't think your bill is expensive, and even if you can afford to pay it, then why give the money to those energy companies if you don't have to?
True.
I can always think of 101 things I'd rather spend my money on than giving it to large corporates that make billions of pounds each year.
Yeah, absolutely right. Now, look, we've got lots to talk about still. We come back to those details in a minute, but should we talk about Liverpool? No, I know that sounds a bit like, oh, we've been to Liverpool. No, not me.
No, I have, yes. I was up at the National Energy Action Conference. Actually, courtesy of Octopus Energy, they sponsored me to go up there. And that was 3 days meeting lots of other people from all over the country that work in the same area that we do. So helping people with their energy bills and helping people in fuel poverty to discuss what we can do and what can we all learn from each other to improve everybody's lives. And it was really fascinating listening to some of the speakers, including the Minister for Energy Consumers. I didn't know we had one, but we do.
Right.
And she's lovely. And there is a lot that the government needs to do to make things better. And yes, they say they're working on it. Unfortunately, just about everything in government it's like working with a treacle machine at the moment, because nothing can be decided until the next spending review is completed. But after that, I'm hoping there will be some changes to the energy market to make it fairer for people. I'm hoping that there will be more money put aside to help people improve their homes, because the government has a net zero target by 2050, and we have got millions of homes that need to be improved. And I think it's finally getting through to them that even for people that wouldn't qualify for the existing grants, that doesn't mean people can actually afford to make all these changes and improvements. So there's going to be a massive amount of help needed. And a lot of that help can only come from government.
Can I ask you a question? And it might be a bit political, but at least I know I get an honest answer. You've been to Liverpool and you've mm-hmm. rubbed shoulders with a lot of people that are thinking the same way as you, wanting to help people, put things in place for the future so that they can save money, we can save the planet and so on. Okay? I didn't hear too much about that on the television, because I hear a lot of other nonsense that's going on that's not even related to that, but people are more interested supposedly in that than they are this really big, important issue that was happening in Liverpool.
It will never make national news, because a lot of news, whether it's on the TV, whether it's in the papers, you have to have that attention-grabbing shock headline that makes people either tune in and watch it or read it.
Yeah.
And a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes or even publicly will never make the news because of that. you have a short time slot for the news. You have a finite number of pages in a newspaper. And they all need to make money.
Well, look, if there are people listening, which I'm sure there are, that I have some kind of connection with TV companies and so on, I'm sure the message will get back. I, for one, switch off the news at 6:02 when I go, because I can't be bothered with it. If I've got it all in the headlines and I know what the rest of the story is, because you grab me in with the headlines, well, with this person, you haven't. I would much rather listen to what was going on in Liverpool that was going to help and benefit people that are struggling with energy bills and getting good ideas to how they can make their house energy efficient and so on. That, to me, is far more interesting, and that is the big story that should be top story in some cases, some days.
It should be, but unfortunately, the way our country is and the way the world is at the moment, it never will be.
It's tragic. It is a tragic indictment. It really is.
And the health implications for people of poorly heated properties, bad air quality in properties, people are dying of this every year. But that's just a slightly inconvenient truth for the government.
Yeah, but no one mentions it, do they?
No one mentions it.
No. And I say, have a good look around. I've paid so much attention to the stuff that you drew my mind to last year about CO2 and so on. And I noticed that it's quite high in this room at the moment. And we've got one of these at home and we're looking around and it's right, that's telling me I've got to open a window and common sense. Okay, someone said to me the other day, what's that? And I explained to them and they said, oh, we better get one of those.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, that's good, but why do you think you need one, and why did it take to now for you to realize that you may need one? I think it's a given everyone should have one of those in their house, and if they did, they would definitely be more aware of what's going on inside those four walls that you live in. And I think it might just save your life, or it might just boost your energy levels too and your health.
Yes. And knowledge is power. If you don't know about something, you never know to fix it.
I feel powerful every time you come in, because I've got all this knowledge now that's in my head. I've got two things to ask you.
Okay.
One is, if you need assistance, help, or if you just want some advice, how do we get hold of you?
You can email us at info@greeniow.org.uk or phone on 01983 668 900.
Brilliant, thank you for that. And we're going to end up with you're doing something nutty later this year. Just tell us what you're going to do, and you're raising funds for it as well, aren't you?
I'm going to be raising money for the Alzheimer's Cafe on the Isle of Wight, because I've seen the difference they make to people's lives. I've been and done home surveys for people that use their services and heard firsthand the difference it makes. I'm going to be walking from Fort William to Aviemore, carrying everything I need in a backpack on my back. I'm going to be wild camping, so that's no campsite, no nothing. So I'll need to filter all of the water I want to drink on the way, carry enough food with me. I'll be leaving Euston Station on the 15th of May at 9 p.m. to get the train up to Fort William, trying to make it the greenest method of transport. And then I've got a train booked back on the 21st of May from Aviemore. So between those days, I've got to get from one place to the other.
So Aviemore and Fort William is, how far are they apart?
Depends on the exact route I take, but about 85 miles.
But it's all across like mountains and stuff like that, isn't it?
It's all through the Scottish Highlands and the Cairngorms. Yeah, there'd be a few river crossings to do that don't have bridges and things, so...
And you don't think you're nutty, do you?
No, not at all. Right. No, to me, that seems like... Well, why wouldn't you?
Of course. And you're doing this in May, so it's not... I mean, I know it's cold in Scotland, and you wouldn't want to do it in January, February.
No, I mean, in May, it could still be below freezing at night.
Oh, crikey.
But if I leave it until June, all the midges are out, so
oh, well,
it's weighing up the options. And I think I'd rather be a bit cold than bitten to bits by midges.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
I really hope it's, and I'm sure it will be, a massive success. And the details are going to be on our website later today. And they're also on another website?
Yes, I'll be posting a lot on Instagram. So my Instagram, if you just look for Lisa Beanie, all one word, you'll find me. And I'll be posting updates before I go on the training. I was planning on making a couple of short videos on the amount of kit I've got to take, why I've packed what I have, what luxury items I might be taking. There might be some chocolate in there.
I would hope there is. You've got to have some luxury.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, and it's for such a lovely, lovely cause as well. It really is. So well done for that. And obviously you'll be back in again in a month's time.
Yes.
We'll talk more, and hopefully there'll be a promo running by then as well. But details are out there.
Yeah.
So give generously.
Thank you.